Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the start of another day, that you've blessed us with another day of life. We pray that you will guide us in all our work, all our actions today, that you will be our guide, our lead, and our calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my name is Tim Stambaugh. I'm with this AFCO class. I'm 36 years old, married with a son. They're actually at Weimar with me, but they didn't come down today. We're having a little bit of van trouble, so I had Henry bring me down. But I was going to give a different devotion than I planned today, but I promised someone here at Amazing Facts that I'd share a little bit of how I came to get to AFCO. So if anyone does have a Bible, I'm going to be going through a few verses, but I'm going to start in Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1, in the very first verse, it reads, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Right here it tells us that Paul was called. There was a calling on his life, a special appointment from God. And as we read down through, it's concerning his son, Jesus Christ, and then it comes down until we get to verse 6, among whom you also are called of Christ. The first thing that I want us to catch before I go into my background a little is that everyone, no matter if we know what it is or not, there is a calling of Christ on our lives. There is something specific for each one of us in his purpose and in his will. Romans 8:28, a passage that most everyone here probably could recite by memory, is all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. There's two things in that passage. It's for our good, and it's according to his purpose. So whatever calling we have is for our own good, and it's according to the purpose of God. 2 Timothy 1:9 is another passage that deals with this. It says in 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. There's just two more things about that calling in this that I really liked out of this passage. It's from God, so it's obviously holy. It's a holy calling. It's a holy purpose he has. And it wasn't just something he came up with, you know, when we got to a certain stage in life. It says there in verse 9, given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The purpose that God has for each one of us was set before any of this ever existed. He knew you. He knew the plan he had for you. He knew the plan he had for each one of us. Many of you are probably fulfilling that plan working in a Christian ministry like this right now. I don't know. That may be the exact calling he has for you. But as far as me, it was rather interesting. Just a couple more scriptures before I get into that fully. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, it reads, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. So let him walk. He has a calling for us. We've seen that it's a holy calling. It's for our good. And the next part we need to understand is that we are to heed that calling in our lives. If we accept Jesus Christ, we should heed the calling he has put on us. And that's what it says right there. So let him walk. And then the last one is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul's encouraging people here. It says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. We have a calling. We should heed that calling, and we're called to fulfill that. Now, I came into the not the Adventist church to begin with. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ at the age of 12. At the age of 13 and a half, 14, he made it very clear what I was supposed to be doing for him in my life. I was supposed to be preaching his word to other people. That's a very young age to catch that, but that is what he made very clear to me. But as children do, I didn't quite, you know, keep that focus really well. I did many other things. I came into the Adventist church. I was rebaptized into the Adventist faith in 1997. 4 or 5 months after that, I moved to Eastern Illinois. So that tells you kind of I'm in the middle of cornfields at one point, and I moved to other cornfields. So I moved from humidity to humidity. You know, if you ever have a chance to move from one place to the other, don't move from someplace hot and sticky to someplace hot and sticky. But I did that. My wife and I got married. We moved over to Eastern Illinois. We were in a very tiny church. It was 11 to 15 people. 1 week, the pastor comes up to me and he tells me, "You're going to my house this week. You're coming to my house this weekend because we're having a sermon preparation seminar because you're going to be one of my new speakers." Because in Illinois, you know, churches are spread out. You've got one pastor with 3-4 churches, and they can be an hour and a half away from each other. I'm sure you've probably got some of that going on here. There just seems to be a lack of pastors. And I immediately felt that call from my youth rear its head again. This is what you're supposed to be doing. So I started doing that. Once, twice a quarter, I would give the message at a couple of the different churches in our district. And I was working full-time. I was part-timing God. And yet at the back of my head, that calling kept hitting. And the exact phrase was, "You're missing your calling." And we had our pastor. He was a wonderful gentleman. He gave a sermon on recognizing your calling. And as he gave this sermon, this sermon always stuck with me because there was a checklist of things you could check off. And everything checked. Even the last one, even though I wouldn't admit it at the time, which was others recognizing your calling. Was the confirmation of your calling by others. So I left that one unchecked, even though it was. And beside that, in the back of my mind, was you're missing your calling the entire time. We decide to move back to Eastern Illinois, Western Illinois, I'm sorry, back home, back near family. We had a little boy. He was over 2 months premature. Things were really tense for a while. My wife wanted to be close to family because children that premature often have a lot of defects. They have a lot of problems. She wants our boy to be near his family for whatever time he's got, but God blesses. We stopped going to the neonatal intensive care reunions because it just gave you such an overwhelming feeling of guilt when your child ends up seemingly perfect with no defects, no problems. God blessed. But I kept preaching. I kept part-timing God. I'd preach here and there across Illinois, and things went well. I thought I was an excellent Christian. Still speaking at churches, still doing what I think, but I'm still working full-time here and there and everywhere else. But God has a way of becoming insistent with us. I worked at a company. I had had a knee injury. I got transferred into an office job. I thought, this is it. I've got it. This is where I'm at. 5 months later, we shut the business down. It goes under. I keep preaching. I keep thinking, God, what do you want me to do? And I keep having that missing your calling in the back of your head. I get another job. 2 years later, we shut that company down. God has a way of getting your attention sooner or later. By the time January 18th, 2008 hit, I was working the office for my fourth company, shutting it down. God gets your attention because each time you have something happen, you're like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And in the back of your mind, you get that you're missing your calling. So I finally, after that fourth time, said, Lord, you know I need a job. I'm going to try to follow you fully. I don't have any pride left. I'll dig ditches. You know I need a job for my family. I get a call from Walmart. Of all the things, Walmart. You can't, I mean, it's a low-end job. I have nothing wrong with that. At this point, my pride's gone. And I call them back. I set up an interview. They said, would you be interested in working in the produce department? After I stopped laughing, they say, what's the problem? I'm like, nothing. I was like, I'm a vegetarian. That is the absolute best thing you could have ever offered me to work in Walmart. So I took that job, and I started to actually pay attention to the call of God. I didn't know how we were going to work it, working on a Walmart salary, how we were going to do this, how we were going to do that, but time came around for an evangelistic series that we were running in our church. The ministerial director for the state is going to do that series, but he remembers me, and he asked me to do one of the series. I present that. I'm coming down from the platform to shake people's hands, and he comes up to me at the end with a big smile on his face, reaching out to shake my hand, shakes my hand, and the exact words he said are, you do know you're missing your calling. I had to sit down. He meant it as an encouragement. He didn't realize that phrase had been there for years. He walked off to shake other people's hands. I sat down. My wife came out of the back room, out of the bathroom, and she said something. I said, we've got to go home and pray. Within a week, we knew, pardon me, within a week, we knew we were coming to Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism. That's just where God immediately pointed and provided. And it was an amazing thing. And that's why my last scripture is in Philippians chapter 3. I'll say, because God doesn't want part-time Christians. He wants full-time Christians. No matter what we're doing, we need to be full-time for God. I was an excellent Christian. Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect. There's a difference between excellence and obedience. Obedience and excellence aren't the same thing. God wants us to be obedient. I used to use an illustration of the square and the rectangle. The definition of a rectangle, all four sides are parallel, and opposing sides are of equal length. Well, by that definition, every square is a rectangle. But there is only ever one time that a rectangle becomes a square. Excellence, or perfection, is always excellent. But excellence is only perfection when it's obedience. God wants us to obey his calling. And in Philippians 3:12, it reads, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that is the question today. Are we willing, when we recognize the call, to turn away from the things behind? And I love the illustration there of reaching forward. He's not reaching with one hand and holding on back here with the other, which is what I did for years. Reach with one hand, hold on back here. He's reaching with both hands for the calling God has put before him. Will we each reach forward with both hands, forgetting what's behind and following the call of God?